about the kingdom. Well, we've been talking a lot about the kingdom. We've been talking about how the warfare started. We've talked about how we gave it up. We've talked about how we were brought back to the kingdom. But there's an element that we as kingdom people must develop, and that is a kingdom mindset. So today's message is developing a kingdom mindset. If you would turn with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter. And if you put your finger at Matthew 4:17 and turn over to Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16, we will read. Starting with Matthew 4:17. And from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Matthew 16:13 through 16 says, "And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And so they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.' Then he said to them, 'But who do you say I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Jesus began his public ministry simply preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I can't wait till he's old enough to start preaching it. That's all right, Ian. And what we find, and what I've observed in the body of Christ today, is I don't hear about repentance, nor do I see Christians exercising repentance, except for our group. And that's kind of distressing, because that's the message we're to preach. And preaching is just declaring what God has said for us to do. What is repentance? Anyway, changing your mind. Absolutely. In the most simplest form, it means changing your mind. But we also know that those who are going through discipling and foundations, that it's not just changing your mind. It's agreeing with God, changing your mind by what He says, and then have a correlating response or action to go back from the direction that you were heading in. Amen? And of course, I make light, but it's not something to make fun of, in that repentance, we have the honor and privilege of going back and fixing everything that we've destroyed in our lives. You see, when we're young and we're stupid, or old and stupid, we do things from a selfish motivation. But there will come a time in the future that each and every one of us will have to repent, change our mind, and then change the direction that we head in. And today, I challenge you to repent, because you do not have a kingdom mindset. And that is not your fault. It's what you have always lived in. Why do I say that? Because if we were kingdom-minded people, and if we were kingdom-minded in what we were doing, we wouldn't have to beg and plead people to do what God has already told us to do, to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ and His kingdom, to go and live a lifestyle that is worthy of kingdom citizenry, and to influence as many people as we possibly can for His glory and His honor and His namesake. And so I say to you that you know, because we don't have this kingdom mindset, and I'm just as guilty, but I've been beat up all week, so now I can let the Holy Spirit have His turn on you. I'm just going to give the word and let him have his way. We must understand that we do not have the kingdom in mind. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I also say, out of the abundance of the mind controls what we're going to do. And think about it. What is prioritized in our lives? In my life, and Irene kind of hates it because I'm really pretty anal about it, is I'm constantly in the Word. I study the Word. I'm reading material to challenge myself. I'm constantly looking to understand my environment that I'm in so I can become even more effective for my King and His kingdom. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, because our lifestyles tell us, you know, we it's real easy. Raise your hand up. How many of us are Christians? And everybody put their hands up. But, like I said last week, you know, is that a label that we take on so we can escape from earth to heaven? Or is it something deeper? Like for me, I've had a tremendous revelation and continue to seek revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And so being a Christian, to me, is repugnant to me as far as that tag that's put on. I would rather be a man after God. And the leaders understand this for various reasons, because I don't want to be labeled as such and such. I don't want the world to tell me who I am. You see, and this is what Jesus was getting to. He started a public ministry and he was preaching repentance, for the kingdom is at hand. And then towards the end, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? Who do people say you are? Do they say wonderful things about you? Or do they say things that are pretty descriptive based on our attitudes and actions? Do we receive those tags and do we receive those things in such a way that they're badges of honor or are badges of disgrace? You see, because Jesus didn't take that. He already knew who he was. He already knew why he came. And he already knew what his job was, because he was sent by the Father. And when he proclaimed himself as Christ and proclaimed himself as the Son of God, people kind of were taken back because that was not the image that they perceived. They perceived him contrary to the traditions of men, and as a rogue, that, you know, why do your people don't wash their hands before they eat? Why do you do this, Jesus? Why do you hang out with sinners? Why do you hang out with all the ill repute? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Don't you know what kind of person this is? Jesus knew all that. And Jesus knows you. The problem is, you don't want to know you, because you would rather listen to what the world would say about you than listen to what God says about you. Case in point, how many of us, and this has really stabbed me in the heart, how many of us do things in a consensus form? We go, and before we make a decision, we ask anybody and everybody about, what do you think about this idea? Or what, you know, how would you go about doing this? All of us would do it. How many of us go to God first and say, Lord, how would you want to do this? How would you want to do that? I can only go like this because there's sometimes I don't do that. I'm not completely kingdom-minded. I sometimes forget that I'm a sheep and I need his instruction. I need wisdom from a multitude of counselors. I need to make informed decisions that will cause my life in the future and now to be on a path of peace, joy, love, and happiness. I think today what happens is we don't like to be called Christians. We like to be called Americans. We are Americans. And for our French-speaking people, Americans. But how many of us have been overseas, and when they ask you where you're from, and they generally don't have to ask where you're from, because they know where you're from. Oh, you're all from America, right? Yeah, how'd you guess? Well, you're just so arrogant and prideful. You live in the richest country in the world, and you all don't want to share it with us. Get God. And we'll talk about it. I've been to Europe a couple times, and I've been down in the Caribbean and a couple other places, and I'll tell you what, it's an extreme that I really appreciate where God has put me in this country. And unless you're out of this country, you don't realize how good you have it. As bad as you think you got it, as a Christian, we have brothers and sisters that are losing their lives for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Are you willing to be that radical for Jesus Christ? I am. I'm radical. I've sold my life to Jesus Christ. Wherever He wants me to go, whatever He wants me to do, whatever it will cost me, I am willing to do that. But it's you, Pastor. That's you. I'm not as mature as you. You got to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. You have to read it. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells you about ordinary people through the centuries that had nothing, didn't have jobs, didn't have homes, didn't have family, didn't have money. They had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they would refuse to renounce under penalty of death. Challenge you. Pick it up. It should be in the library. If not, I've got it buried somewhere in my massive boxes of storage. And I'm even thinking about picking up a few dozen copies for you guys. I don't know when that'll happen, but I'm planning on it. The question here is, what is your mindset and developing a kingdom mindset? How do we go about this? I've prefaced all this to show you that Jesus preached the message of repentance, and so honestly, we must repent before we can even proceed in acquiring and developing this mindset. Wouldn't you agree? And we have to acknowledge that in order for us to become effective, this mindset must control everything and must be controlled by the Spirit above all. I've known Christians who, and myself included, that the zeal of the Lord has been such a consuming fire, but let's face it, I did more damage with all the zeal for the Lord than I did in acquiring believers into the kingdom. We must not take the world's label. We must refuse the world's label. And for those who are reading unchristian, hopefully you're getting a better picture in preparation for what the Lord is about to release us to do. We are going to step into the waters of no return. To be a Christian is going to require everything that you are and I am and everything that we have, because the King owns it. It's just on loan to us, even our lives. We must put down our petty juvenile behaviors and antics and frustrations and take up the cross of Jesus Christ, first and foremost. If we do not kill this mindset that we have presently, it will kill us eventually. It will cause us to do things in the natural that only a supernatural being can do and understand. Remember in Romans it says, you know, the carnal man can't comprehend the spiritual things of God. It's impossible. We're doing things right now in preparation for this great move that God wants us to take on. But yet we are making decisions based on our carnal mind thinking or our earthly thinking, not on kingdom thinking. Friends of mine looked at me and said to me, "You are so stupid for building an addition onto your house when you should be looking to enjoy your retirement." I said, "God told me to do this 2.5 years ago. It will get done, and it will be for His glory." It is almost complete. That is faith. That is kingdom-mindedness. I was not going to allow the world to dissuade me from what God wanted me to do. And there are things that God has been constantly saying to His people in our flock, and we refuse to do it. Developing a kingdom mindset first starts with understanding that we live in a democracy. Most of the world hates America because they're either dictatorial, communistic, or communistic, territorial, religious fanatics, or their kings that have been neuterized because they have some sort of socialized government in there. They hate America because America basically is a government of the people, by the people, for the people. And it's in simplicity, majority rules. And that majority rules through a presentation that we call elections, in which we participate in voting. That mindset must be eliminated for kingdom people. I am not saying that we are not to obey the government. I am not saying that we are, as citizens in this land, we are not to participate in the voting process. Contrary, we are. If anything, we are above reproach to participate and be obedient to what the laws of this land has governed. But when these laws of this land violates a higher law, which is God's law, we must refuse to participate in that. It starts with us understanding that in democracy, we live as a people that we have the freedom to debate a law that we don't happen to agree with. We can even gather a bunch of people together and dissent that law by protesting in the streets and screaming forth how unrighteous these laws are for one reason or another. And we then can amass a bunch of people that can get together and use their power to eliminate those individuals who are supposed to be representing our agendas. In the kingdom of heaven, there is no dissension. There is no conversing. There is no opinion making, except the king's. That's all that matters. He is not going to ask you by consensus a decision that he's going to make. What he is after is our obedience to the edicts and laws that he's already given to us. Well, Pastor, that's kind of Old Testament. That's kind of rigid. That's kind of... Read the word. You see, becoming kingdom-minded means we become students of his word. The reason why you don't share your faith is you're not in the word. The reason why your lifestyle is the way it is because you don't put his word into practice, and neither do I. Because we have this warring going on in our minds thinking, well, I'm kingdom-minded. I tithe. Check me out, God. I tithe. Yeah. But when we get into an argument, we are lashing out, accusing each other, screaming Bloody Mary, cussing one another out to the people that we say in the next breath, I love you. You see, being kingdom-minded is having the word rule your life. It's knowing what our King demands of us and living in accordance to it. Not to what my homeboys think I should be doing because I got all this bling on here. And I wear my trousers down past the crack of my behind because you know what? I want to relate to them. You can relate to them just the way you are. You don't have to be like them. Because you see, they're looking for something that's real. And what they see when we act like them is a hypocrite. They see us in a light that blemishes the name of our King and God. How do we acquire this? Romans 12:2 says, be no longer conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of Kevin is. No, it's not in there, Kev. Let me see. Let me find that, buddy. I think I read it in there, man. Romans 12:2, right? Oh, okay, I was wrong. Forgive me. What the will of God is. Citizens, I call you citizens of heaven because that's who you are. You are spiritual. You are supernatural spiritual beings that must learn what a supernatural God or King is all about. Pastor, you know, I have this problem. What is that? I can't read. That's not a problem. There are no problems in the kingdom of God. I have not found problems in the kingdom of heaven. I have found problems in the kingdom of Gary. I have. Because I create them. God has a solution to everything. I remember a young man who came to Bible study one night, years back, and felt really challenged because I had asked this individual to read a couple scriptures. And my point was not to make this person feel self-conscious or to make them feel ashamed or anything. I knew that this person could not read. But with the help and love of our Bible study, I could see this person begin to start blemishing to the point of, I got that, Pastor. I'll read that. Hey. There is not a problem. It's a wrong mindset. But I don't have a job. Well, you don't have a job because have you ever thought that God doesn't want you to have a job that you think you need? Have you ever thought that getting an education is more important than a J-O-B? But you don't understand. You know, I need to pay my bills and all. Absolutely right. Don't you think God knows that? Being a citizen of the kingdom, who's responsible for who? The king is responsible for us. If he tells the man of God, you need to be doing this, why are you over here doing that? Can you see my point? I'm not saying this to belittle you. I'm trying to take the Word of God and crash that stone wall between our ears that will impede us from being able to recognize what God wants to do. We don't share the Word of God because we don't understand the kingdom. But we won't understand the kingdom if we don't get into the Word of God. If we don't start rightly dividing the Word of truth, the workman need not be ashamed. A workman, a student, a study, disciplined disciple of Jesus Christ. All that we have and all that we need is in here. It is more important to understand what God says about me and you than it is about the world. Because the world is based on lies and deception. Whose prince is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And his whole point in existence right here is to deceive the sons and daughters of the Most High from becoming who God has already ordained them to be. Running away from our problems or acknowledging that they don't even exist does not make the sense that there is a truth to the reality that we've created those problems. God didn't. But God can and is willing to work with us to solve the problems and destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus came to do. He did not preach religion. We have to get religion out of our mind. He preached a relationship with the living God under a government, that government of heaven using us in order to destroy a rebellious government that we can't see, but we are parts and party to because we were born into it. We must transform the renewing of our mind. And the only way to transform is if we repent and acknowledge that what God says is true. Then have a proper correlating behavior into it. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. When I get angry, I just curse up a storm. My Bible says you have to practice. Put into practice the Word of God. You see, who you are as a spirit being must control this carnal flesh in order to practice righteousness. Seek ye first His kingdom and our righteousness. Seek my kingdom and His righteousness. Seek first the world. And maybe, no, seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. You see, you are righteous when you put into practice what He already says for us that we can do in Jesus Christ. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to bring conviction to me and acknowledging that every time I do something contrary to being a citizen and disobedient to His Word. His Word is supreme. It is ultimate. It doesn't matter. He's not going to stop and say, you know what, Dan, I was just thinking the other day that I'm going to have this comet blow through your universe there. You know, what do you think if I have it come, 5,000-6,000 miles real close to the atmosphere of the Earth? You know, what do you think is going to happen? You think that's a good idea? No. He's going to do whatever He wants to do. He's not going to ask our opinions. He's going to tell us what our opinions are. I like my son one day. He says, Dad, you really need to knock off giving me your opinion. I said, well, as long as you're under my roof and you're under 18, I'm going to give you your opinion. I'm going to tell you what it is, and that's your opinion. And he was shocked. because I was training my children in a way to think for themselves, to develop good opinions. Well, I'm finding out that that's not inherently wrong as long as I mix it with the Word of God. But what we find is we're not mixing anything in our lives with the Word of God. We're not lining up. We're not doing things. And church, I have to tell you, you better put your sneakers on, because this coming year you're going to start running. And I'll tell you what, I've been running all this year and I'm tired. So you've got to be in the Word. You've got to transform your mind. Once you're able to have your mind transformed, and you're able to take over and begin to exercise these things, the next question is, why do we do it? Why do it?
Because God said so.
No, He didn't say so. God didn't say you have to do anything. He's given you free will. If you don't want to, and you want to live under the barrel, not be in the barrel, in the bottom of the barrel, where all the bad apples are. You see, I was so far in the gutter, I couldn't even jump up to get to the curb. That's how bad I was. I really needed God to scoop me out of the muck and mire and set me in heavenly places. I needed Him to do that for me, and He will do that for you. But it starts with us being obedient to what He tells us to do. Amen? Sometimes we need to cut our losses and look for a different avenue for things to do. But why do we do it? Turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. This is why we do it. Matthew 24, starting in verse 3. We there? Everybody put your hands up when you're there. Matthew 24, verse 3. Okay. And it says, "And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to Him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." We are living in the last days, last minutes, last hour. There are more earthquakes happening in greater succession and greater intensity since 1990. More, not less. There are more eruptions of volcanoes this year alone in populated areas than ever before. There are more areas of famine and disease and pestilence across the world than ever before. There is genocide happening in many nations, especially in the African continent. There are people groups being eliminated before our eyes because they name the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, this is only the beginning of the end. We do it because we see this is going to happen. And without Jesus Christ, without having a kingdom mindset, who's going to go and tell them the truth? Jehovah's Witnesses? Mormons? We're best yet. How about the Muslims? Are they going to tell them about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of heaven? No, they're not. Because they're of the world. They're deceived. They're preaching a false gospel. They have a godliness that denies the power of God. So who is it left to? It's left to the Church of Jesus Christ, of which we are a part of. Church, do not look at your circumstances, for your circumstances are going to change from day to day. Look at what is happening around you. All you have to do is look at the newspaper. And don't say, oh, it's nothing but bad news. That's good news. Because our God and King is coming and is soon here. It's bad news if we're not doing what God has told us to do. And that is go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Repentance. Change your mind about how you think about things, people. Change your mind about what you're doing. Change your mind about self-service, selfishness, self-attitudes. Change your mind about being an opera singer and begin to start looking at today your loved one is going to be here and tomorrow they're going to be gone. That's a reality. We buried Gary's grandmother, almost buried my mother-in-law in a week. It's time. Thank God she knows Christ. And thank God his grandmother knew Christ. And Rachel, you got a great opportunity to ship up and start walking this Christianity out that you've been so much in rebellion about, and really see that you have a tremendous opportunity to bring people into the kingdom. And stop looking at your own little situation that you create as something bad. You can turn it around. Only you can turn it around. Only you and Jesus Christ can turn any situation around. And I'll tell you what, these last months I've been on my knees and my face before the Lord to get this project done. Because I was tired of it. I looked at it not as anything but an inconvenience in stopping me from continuing on about what God has called us to do. It was a nuisance. Death is a nuisance. But it's not the end. Church, we have a great responsibility. Proverbs 23:7 says, so a man thinketh in his heart that he is. Do you think you're the king's kid? I know I'm the king's kid. I conduct myself as the king's kid. Am I the king's ambassador? I got a problem there. I've got a lot of work to do. I don't always exemplify my ambassadorship. But I'm constantly repenting and wanting to learn to change. It's not a matter of beating your brains in for doing wrong. What it is, it's a matter of changing the way you think about yourself and God and the plan He has for your life. I am not going to reach your friends. I may not be able to reach your neighbors. And I may have opportunity to reach your family with Jesus Christ. But you have greater influence. You have a greater opportunity than I do. And a couple of years ago, we talked about Oikos. We talked about at least 40 people in our lives that we know that are not Christians that we can impact, impart, or influence their lives for the kingdom. The choice is yours. Because you see, the end is coming. When He comes back, His reward is with Him. All those who are disobedient to the gospel will stand before the king, and they will find their place with those who outwardly rebelled against the king. Those of us who are just disobedient, we're only going to get smacked a little bit, but we will have a reward. And those who remain faithful to the very end have treasure in heaven that we cannot even imagine. Church, I'm pleading with you. God is pleading with His church, especially the church in America. Change the way you think. Change the way you live. Change the way you do things. And the first way you do it is repenting and implementing what He tells you to do in His Word. I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's not my job. My job is to help you in your relationship, to become that person, the person of the heart that God wants you to be. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, God, that You are able to transform lives. There's nothing impossible with You, Father, and I pray today that in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, break these bondages of thinking that we can be democratic in a kingdom society. We cannot. Help us to develop a kingdom mindset. Help us to develop a kingdom lifestyle that is glorious unto You, Lord. Help us to be those representatives that You have died for and win people to You, God, inviting them to be part of Your life. God, we know that this year is coming. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and we're going to go to work. Father, I just pray that as You bless us, God, we pass those blessings on to those who are even less, more fortunate than us. God, may You, Your house be full. May You receive all glory and honor in Your name. And may You find us, Your servants, at work in Your fields. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.